is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game live at Pete and Terry's Tavern tonight. Predators and Anaheim. Crispy going to join us in a little bit for his weekly spot as we'll talk to Crispy about this team. But Titans and Chiefs, we will be live in Kansas City tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday with extra shows and bonus coverage getting you set for Titans and Chiefs. Now, one thing that is going to be brought up, it's already been brought up, but it's going to be brought up even more. And that is the propensity of choking from the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. But especially as far as playing the Titans are concerned. Andy Reid 1-8 in his career at Philadelphia and in Kansas City. In fact, I know the game was a 2013 game in which Darius Raynaud fumbled a punt into the end zone for a Kansas City touchdown. That is the only time Andy Reid has ever beaten the Titans. Andy Reid has lost to the Titans via an Al Del Greco 50-yard field goal at Veterans Stadium. He has lost to the Titans via a Keith Bullock interception in the end zone that started a come-from-behind Titans win. He has lost to the Titans because Kenny Britt went bananas in the third quarter of a game. And he had like almost 200 yards receiving or something nuts like that his second year in the league. He's lost to the Titans because Mariota threw a pass to himself. He lost to Jake Locker because Ryan Succop hit four field goals. I mean, you name it, he's found a way to lose to the Titans. Andy Reid was asked about his 1-8 record against Tennessee. This is what Andy Reid said.
Nobody's going to ask, but your team's 1-8 record against the Titans. Is there a common thread through that? There's been some crazy games and some really strange bounces in those games.
Yeah, they're all different. Heck of a record, though, isn't it? Not very good. I mean, Ted was telling me about it. I normally don't keep track of those things, but Ted reminded me before I got in here that you guys would ask. So I got to do better on my end. My players, they've won more games than I have against them, you know, some of these guys. So it's a, you know, I'm just going to bank on them.
Andy Reid is 207. 128-1 in the regular season. He's 220, 142-1 overall, and yet he's 1-8 against the Titans. So let's lump this into Andy Reid's career struggles and Andy Reid's struggles against the Titans. Floyd, what kind of factor do you think that plays in this game, whereas Andy just laughed it off right there? Do you think it's a laughing matter? And B, why? And how does this, I mean, why can't Andy Reid beat the Titans?
I don't know. It's strange, though. I mean, it's, and we've talked before about how, you know, certain teams play other teams, and it's just they struggle to win. And then, you know, the opposite of that is true. I don't know, because you look at this game, it's not like there's a continual theme. It's not like, you know, hey, other than, you know, the Titans haven't changed their style of football for probably 20 years. You know,
hey, Ken Whisenhunt definitely was not trying to run the ball with a big physical back. And the Titans went into Arrowhead with him as coach. Ken Whisenhunt, in his tenure as Titans coach, beat three teams, and that was one of them.
Well, they have. I think, generally speaking, we've been a run, play defense, physical kind of team, and get what we can get out of the quarterbacks. And I don't know if that's, you know, his Achilles heel. I mean, I can't believe it is. And I'm not sure any of that matters versus this team. You know, this quarterback is, and this offense is different from all of that.
But that offense last year choked in the playoffs, and they were different. I mean, the last year, when you really look at it, mano-a-mano, they were better than the New England Patriots last year. They had a better team than New England. And they had the lead, and they had everything going in their favor. And they got one bad review that didn't hurt him because Brady threw an interception on the next play. And still, at the same time, they found a way to choke that game away. Now, as far as the Titans are concerned, I mean, Andy has lost some doozies. He lost a game against the Titans where they led, and it was the opener in 2001. I don't know if you remember this, but Javon Kearse broke his foot in the opener of 2002. So this was the season opener. Javon Kearse breaks his foot. Philadelphia takes a lead into the fourth quarter of 20-7. Oh, I think I'm looking at this wrong game. Anywho, yeah, that was a preseason game. The Tennessee has a lead. and Philadelphia, or excuse me, Philadelphia has a lead, and all of a sudden the Titans, they came back from two or three scores, and they won that game. And I'm just telling you, like, Andy has, he's got a career of choking against the Titans. Everyone makes a big deal about Andy's career choking it in the playoffs, but he chokes against the Titans. The Titans in the second half in 2001, the Titans were down 24-10 at the half, and the Titans won 27-24, in which they scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. That is a choke job. Now, D. Mace actually had a really nice touchdown where he threw off the DB and ran into the end zone. But Andy Reid chokes. And you can't tell me it's just a coincidence with how much he chokes in the playoffs and how he's choked against the Titans.
I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, what do you explain it?
Do you think he gets tight? Do you think that maybe he's a better regular season coach? Like how I think Lamar Jackson is a better regular season quarterback than he is a postseason quarterback because there's more attention to detail in the playoffs than there is during the regular week against Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I mean, what'd you say his regular season record was? It's like 240 to 140 or something.
221. His overall record, including the playoffs, is 220, 142, and 1.
Yeah, so he's won almost 100 games more than he's lost. And teams that teams he's playing in the regular season don't change up in the playoffs. I mean, they're playing the same way that they played in the regular season. So I don't know. I don't know if they're – I don't know how to figure that one out. You know, not getting ready to play, I mean, I wouldn't think that's the case. It's the playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah, the playoffs.
According to an ESPN article that was written last January, in 14 seasons, and I guess now it's 15 or whatever. No, this is with the Eagles. In 14 seasons with the Eagles, Reed reached the NFC title game five times but advanced just once. Reed's faulty time management hurt the Eagles in that Super Bowl. Trailing the Patriots by 10 points late in the game, the Eagles took almost 4 minutes off the clock by using a series of short passes to get a touchdown. That left them little time when they finally got the ball back and they wound up losing by 3 points. Clock management was similarly a problem for Reed and the Chiefs in a January 2016 game against the Patriots. Down by 14 points, the Chiefs took 16 plays and more than 5 minutes to get a score. As Brian Dawkins said, quote, "It seems like it always boiled down to small details. Time management, sometimes a wasted opportunity, sometimes a loss of a timeout in an early point of the game. Those are some of the things we would see in Philadelphia, more so than now in Kansas City because he's been in the league longer and he's learned from his mistakes." So, I don't know what causes Andy Reid to choke, but I think you can say it. I think you can say Andy Reid is a choker. And God, I hope that helps the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think he's a playoff choker?
No.
I mean, just go through his history.
I don't even know what choking means. I mean, that's a term that people use that I don't understand.
You have the game in your hands and you blow it. That is choking.
That happens every week in the NFL. Every week.
It happens every year to him in the playoffs.
I don't think much of that. Now, are there teams that you can play really well in the regular season and you're not quite as good as you thought in the playoffs? Yeah. I mean, and his teams may fall in that category.
You think that happened to him against the New England Patriots last year when they blew that game?
I don't even remember that game last year.
The game in overtime where Brady just dominated in the fourth quarter in overtime, and D. Ford lined up offsides, and if D. Ford doesn't line up offsides, the ball's intercepted and Kansas City wins the game.
I would say this, two things. Tom Brady dominates a lot of people late in games, so I'm not sure how you could blame the coach for joking because Tom Brady got hot on him. I mean, I don't know. That's, you know, I just don't know.
Can we blame the coach for choking when Marcus Mariota gets hot on him?
Let me say this. When you complete a pass to yourself, that's not getting hot. Now, does luck have something to do with it? Yes, it does.
So, again, with all of Andy's postseason chokes, you can point to an explanation. There's always is it Andy's fault D. Ford lined up offsides? No. Is it Andy's fault that Eric Fisher got called for holding when it cost him the game against Pittsburgh 3 years ago? No. Is it Andy's fault that Marcus completed a pass to himself, or that Albert Wilson dropped a ball that Alex Smith dropped right in his hands that would have set up the Chiefs for the game-winning field goal, or Harrison Butker missed a field goal after a Dory Jackson fumbled the ball? No. None of those things are Andy Reid's fault, and yet they all constantly happen to Andy Reid. And I do think that Andy Reid has a propensity for choking in the playoffs. I don't know if the Titans can expose that or if that just has to come naturally on Sunday. But did it not kind of look like early in that game that Andy Reid was starting to choke away the ball game against the Texans? And then Bill O'Brien, who's just a bad coach, that Bill O'Brien said, "Hey, hold my beer, Andy," and went out there and outdid him? But it's not Andy's fault Tyreek Hill dropped the ball and Travis Kelce dropped the ball and all those guys dropped the ball early in the game.
I would say it went just the opposite. I mean, what I saw is I saw a team that was down 24-0 that found the wherewithal, whatever it was, to come back and win 41-31 or whatever the final score was. I mean, I don't know how you can label that guy a choke artist. He's down 24 and then he wins by 24. Or 20 or whatever the number was. I think that's maybe the first time that's ever been done.
Although that's one game.
Yes.
But even then, I think Andy Reid is a choker. And I don't know if that's going to matter on Sunday or not. And I think that's why he's 1-8 against the Titans. Let's take your phone. 615-737-1025. Does it matter? Or do we just have to hope that it will show itself? And if it does, it's a bonus. That if Andy Reid chokes this game, a la like he did to the Titans in the playoffs a couple years ago, good. But that you can't bank on Andy Reid blowing the game. 615-737-1025, Jared and the GM. I know you don't want to say Andy's a choker because Andy's your friend, but let's be honest, Andy's a little bit of a choker. Also,
I don't even know what that means.
He's a choker. 615-737-1025. Stephen A. Smith has his thoughts on Kansas City and their propensity to get behind a little bit. We'll get to that next, and then we're to your phones. Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on The Game Nashville app.
Here's the reality. Kansas City better not go down 24-0 to Tennessee. This is not the Houston Texans. This is Tennessee. They get a lead like that. They're going to hand that ball to Derrick Henry, and they're going to say, take us to Miami.
They're going to do that from the beginning of the game.
I understand that, but they're going to especially do it. They get a lead. They're going to say, take us to South Beach. Let's go. We're going to ride this train. And what they're going to do is they're going to kill clock, they're going to move chains, and they're going to beat you up.
Stephen A. says, do not get down 24-0 to Tennessee. You said you would take 24-0 if it was presented to you.
Oh, amen. Right now.
Andy Reid 1-8 against the Titans in the play or overall, and he's 3-5 in Kansas City in the playoffs. And we all know about Andy and his tenure in Philadelphia. Great regular season coach, not a great playoff coach. If Andy Reid never wins a Super Bowl, and I don't know if Andy Reid will ever have a better opportunity than this year to win the Super Bowl, will he go to the Hall of Fame?
If he never wins a Super Bowl, it'll be tough.
Let's go to your phones. Cedric is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Cedric.
Listen, man, last week the Houston Texans were running the ball all over the Kansas City Chiefs, and they got away from it. We're talking about Andy Reid versus Dean Pease, and Dean's mama named him Dean for a reason. And on Sunday, he is taking Patrick Mahomes to school. You understand what I'm saying, Jerry? Listen, Jerry.
No, I don't.
33. Well, listen, man. Listen. Dean Pease makes quarterbacks look bad. We got the best defensive coordinator in the league. We have the top defense in the league.
You know he had 446 and 3 touchdowns the one time he played Dean Pease,
right? How many points did they score, Jerry? How many points did they score, man? They scored daggum 12 points, right? That's all that matters, man.
No, what? they scored like 30-something points or 27 points or something like that.
I'm talking about the Ravens, man. I'm talking about the playoffs. You're talking about the regular season, man. I'm talking about the
You're
playoffs,
You're talking about
man.
Dean Pease, and he knows how to change these quarterbacks, and he can fool any quarterback. And this guy threw for 446 and 3 touchdowns against Dean 2 months ago.
Hey, who won the game, Jared?
I'm not arguing that the Titans didn't win the game. But Dean didn't fool Patrick Mahomes.
Did he fool Tom Brady, and did he fool Lamar Jackson? You are talking about the regular season, which does not matter. We are in the postseason right now, and there have been three times in the Super Bowl era. I'm talking about Super Bowl 33, 36, and 42, where there have been double-digit underdogs, and that, those teams that had offensive personalities have won. We are going to Kansas City, Jared. You book this right now, man. 34-23, dominating game. We are going to Miami, Jared. I keep telling you, pack your stuff, man. But you don't want to listen. You keep talking about, but Patrick Mahomes, and we got to do this, and we got to do it. They have to stop us, Jared. Understand that, man. Understand that, dog. I got to go. Have a nice day.
Thank you for the call, Cedric. Floyd, your thoughts.
Cedric gets me going now. What did he say?
23. You can't hold the Chiefs to 23 points.
I'll take it right now.
But you can't hold the Chiefs. There's no way that they hold the Chiefs to 23 points.
Turnovers. If you get turnovers.
There's one way that you hold the Chiefs to 23 points, and it's still not likely. I mean, you got turnovers in the first game, and they still scored 30.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, if you're going to hold them to 23, you're going to have to get some turnovers. Or the quarterbacks are going to have to get hurt.
Even then, that may not hold him to 23.
Maybe not.
Although Matt Moore did miss practice again today with an illness, the backup quarterback. Chris Jones out today with the calf injury, did miss practice. Travis Kelce was limited with a knee injury. Kelce will be limited. Kelce will play. Jack is up next on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Jared. And, I want to cautious against being a little overconfident. I think that's what happened to the Ravens with us, is they got overconfident.
Are you cautioning the Titans from being overconfident?
Just in general, you know, whether it be talk show host or
you think Jared
whatever.
And the GM, you think Jared and the GM are confident that the Titans are going to beat Kansas City?
Well, you kind of
before we get to overconfident, explain how we are confident that the Titans will beat Kansas City.
Let me talk about what it is I'm trying to say and not what you think I'm trying to say. Just given the, you know, causing the opposing coach, calling him a choker and giving them fodder for their bulletin board is, I just soon be a little more humble about it and, you know, just go into it with a little more fear and then confident that they're going to choke.
If Kansas City gets up after the game, thank you for the call, Jack. If Kansas City's players get up after the game and say, we won this game because Jared Stillman said that Andy Reid was a choker, then I will quit. There you go. I will quit this job if Kansas City wins the game and if one of their star players, so it can't be some guy, it's got to be like Tyrann Mathieu or Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, says Jared Stillman said Andy Reid was a choker. Well, who's the choker now? Then I will quit. God, I hope someone isn't listening that's friends with one of those guys and gets through to him, and then all of a sudden I'm porked. But no, Jared and the GM are not confident about this game. But to say that Andy Reid is a choker, that is a fact. He chokes. That's what he does. He chokes. And I just hope he chokes in this game. DeJuan is up next here on Andy Reid. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, DeJuan.
You got to put some. I'm a Titans fan, but you got to put some respect on Andy Reid. He's not a choker. He's just never had a great defense. So, you know, in the playoffs, that's what it's all about, defense. You know, he's a powerhouse as far as offense, and that works in the regular season, but, you know, he just gets exposed with his defense in the playoffs. Now, hopefully that works in our favor, and we need to score at least every other possession or every possession. If not, then, you know, you got to put some respect on Andy Reid, but go Titans.
Thank you for the call. Didn't Andy have good defenses in Philadelphia? Guys like Brian Dawkins and Hugh Douglas and – I mean, he had good defensive players when he was in Philadelphia.
I mean, he had some, yeah, obviously. I mean, they, you know, he won however many games when he was there.
I know, but I never thought of Andy Reid like as a non-defensive coach. Like, John Gruden's never cared about his defense. But Andy Reid, I feel like, has – I don't think Andy's a defensive coach, but I don't think that Andy just torpedoes the defense either.
Yeah, no, but I don't think they never had one of those juggernaut defenses, you know, when number one defense in the league kind of stuff. Now, back farther than Andy, you get back to Jimmy Johnson back in their era. They were pretty good back then. When
you're not talking about Jimmy Johnson, the Jimmy Johnson that won the Hall of Fame. You're talking about the guy that passed away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they had the real deal back then.
Although, didn't they blow a, like a 4th-and-30 against Brett Favre one time? They played the Packers, and I think Jim Johnson ran.
I remember the play you're talking about. I don't know if that was Philadelphia or not.
I think it goes back to Andy Reid being a choker. Let's go to Bill, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's up, Jared? How you doing?
Good. Go.
So I think you can't really overlook Andy Reid, especially with these, you know, stuff that's going on from 19 years ago. You know, he's got a brand, like a new team, new talent. I mean,
so what happened last year against New England?
Yeah, that was last year, but this
or the year before that against the Titans.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I still think that, you know, it's a new year and we still got to worry about him. He's not really a choker. I mean, he's definitely taken teams to the Super Bowl, but I mean, I wouldn't overlook
He has not
him.
Taken teams to the Super Bowl. He took one team to the Super Bowl and he lost. I mean,
yeah,
I hear what you're saying.
You know,
thank you for your call. My thing with this is Kansas City might be too good. That Kansas City might be too good offensively that it doesn't matter that Reed can't screw the game up. But all of the facts point to the fact that Andy Reid is a choker in the playoffs.
Facts?
Yes.
You can't even define choker for me. I mean, nobody.
I told you, when you lose games, you should win.
Is.
When you lose games, you should win. You're a choker. They
All
had an 18-point lead at halftime against the Titans and lost in the playoffs. Do you know how hard that is against that Titan team that was so beat down? That is a choke job. That was a choke job and a half by Andy Reid.
Let me ask you a question. When the quarterback completes a pass to himself, how does that affect Andy Reid?
I don't need excuses on Andy Reid.
How does that affect Andy Reid? It does not affect Andy Reid. I mean, that's not – you can call it whatever you want, but I'm not sure joker is the right phrase. Now, again, unlucky. I mean, when's the last time that happened? You know, I mean, it just doesn't happen. But it happened that night, and it had nothing to do with Andy Reid.
Again, Andy Reid is a choker.
Okay.
Just go back. Look at his history. Look at his history.
Okay.
Carl is up next. Thank you for calling. Quickly, go ahead, Carl.
Hey, man. Hey, fellas. What's up? Look, I got to agree with you, man. Andy Reid, man, he's a choke artist in the playoffs. But for some reason, like you said, we have won some crazy games against him for some reason. I mean, we won one game, I can't remember, but I think we got a safety or something. And then, you know, and then that turned into 9 quick points because the safety was, you know, hey, you get the free kick after the safety. I mean, but I'm just, look, man, I'm losing sleep at night over this game, man. I swear, it's driving me nuts.
What's driving you nuts specifically and quickly, Carl? What's driving you nuts?
How they're going to try to stop Kelce in the red zone, man.
I agree. Maybe the story of the game. Thank you for your call, Carl.
I mean,
I completely agree. I think that legitimately may be that may be the key to the entire game. And I know you get on me and say red zone's not that important, but I think this game, red zone is everything. We'll get back to the calls. 615-737-1025, but we're going to take a little Preds breather. Crispy is going to join us coming up next. We're live from Bridgestone Arena at his bar, Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM live at Bridgestone Arena, Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight, the Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks. So take a quick little Preds breather, or a Titans breather, onto the Preds. Crispy is with us, as always, presented by the Highland Group. Crispy, your thoughts on the new coach. We'll just start right then and there.
All right. I'd like to say I could give you an in-depth report on this one. I haven't met John Hines that many times. He's very affable, very personable, always says hi, has time to talk, et cetera. I love what I see from our team. And but I think that he's come in with a bit of an attitude that here's a couple things that have to change piece by piece, and he's slowly doing it. And I think the guys have bought in. If you walked into that dressing room now, they're a together bunch. They're joking. They're having fun. They're making it. And they got a new outlook on life. It's not the same practice. This guy started out different practice. I watched a couple of them. I like our games. And, hey, it's not going to be done overnight. He's not a magician, and he's not a miracle worker. But I like how we're trending. I like the way we're trending.
Doesn't it kind of feel like it needs to be done overnight, though, right now? Because this team is so close to the playoff cusp, and you want to – I mean, we were talking about this the other day. Like, they either need to go win 10 in a row, or it's going to be clawing and fighting the rest of the way to hopefully get into the playoff. And I take a game like Edmonton the other night. Like, you got to have that game, considering the point situation. Now you have these two this weekend. You have tonight and then Buffalo Saturday. I mean, like, these games got to get won. So I know that we can sit here and say something along the lines of it's not going to happen overnight, but they got to start winning some games.
They do. But I go back to that Winnipeg game. That's as perfect a game we played in I don't know how long. 1-0 up in Winnipeg. That's never happened before for us. I like that game. You refer to the Edmonton game. I'm not sure any team could have beat them. That team, I'm watching Edmonton. They are unbelievable. They're big. They're strong. They're talented. They got some mean guys out there. And for us to say we should have won that one, yeah, we should have won every game. But you don't, because some teams out there are just a little better than you. Edmonton was just a little better than us, and we give our best shot at them. They're a little better that given night. So, but you are right in the 110. The overnights, it can't happen overnight. We're running out of nights. That's a given. That's a definite. The guys all know it. The coaching staff, everybody knows that we have to start winning games, because for every point that they get, the teams ahead of us, we got to get two. Yeah. We got to leapfrog them. So in order to leapfrog them, we have to keep outpointing those guys every game.
When you, and I notice this in hockey more than it seems to me other sports, I think because there's so many games in hockey. You know, you play so many games. You as a coach and a player, you probably know this better than anybody, but I would think, I used to talk to Jeff about things like practice. I said, you know, we can't make this monotonous. So every once in a while, let's practice at noon instead of practicing at 3 o'clock. Let's practice at 10 o'clock instead of just some little something to change it up. And it always seemed like those kind of practices were a little bit more lively, paid a little bit more attention because it was something different. In hockey, do you have to really make a point of doing those
yes.
kinds of things?
GM, that's a great point, because as a player, I got bored. Like, the same thing. As a coach, you realize that, and you do little, like, you do fun games. Like, I would go and watch minor hockey coaches, how they coach little guys 7, 8, 9, 10, and watch some of their drills where they're having fun. I'd go back and make my guys have fun. And we used to play 3-on-3, just 3-on-3 hockey for the guys for lunch. But a good lunch. So the losing team, and these guys would go like gangbusters. I mean, or the winning team each gets a burger from somewhere. They'd cut your throat for a burger, those guys. They're making $6 million. You're right. You do have to turn it up. You have to come back with something that they're going to have some fun with and then leave it at that. Or break up. I used to call them pink days. And you give them a pink day on the calendar. And you make them take the pink day calendar home to their wives and their girlfriends. The pink day is nobody comes to the rink. I don't care if we played the night before and we got beat 10-1. You're still, that's your pink day off. So when the wives look at that calendar for that month, pink days, Nordstrom's tomorrow, baby. You're babysitting with the kids, buddy. So you're right. You got to change it up. You have to make it fun. It's too long and it's too hard on you.
Well, I used to get a kick out of, I know over here, we would, if you played a good game, we would give you a T-shirt.
Yeah,
and the T-shirt would say something really simple. On, they would kill you for one of those $2.99 T-shirt. They'd get in fights over, I should have had the T-shirt this week. You know, I always thought
like,
that was
they're big
great.
Kids. They're just big kids. And the odd day you say if you have kids, bring your kids to practice. Bring them out and let's have some fun with the little guys on the ice and do that one. You got to be careful. But it's still a fun day. The wives can come and watch or whatever you want to do. Break it up. Make it fun because it's a job, yes. But if it always is the job, there's not a lot of fun there.
How does a guy like this approach? I mean, I think you're right. You know, it's getting to the point that we're past halfway.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of on the down. And like you said, you've got to make up a lot of games. Do you constantly focus on winning, which we know you have to do to a certain extent, but you're also trying to teach what you want them to do, their system?
You know what, I was just thinking, John Hines, new coach, head coach John Hines coming in here like this. If I'd just been dropped into, say, the Columbus Blue Jackets team right now, I don't know their team.
Yeah.
I don't know their faces. I don't know what they can do. Or another team would drop. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's got to, first off, know who they are. Besides the number, if they switch their numbers, he's screwed. Don't know who he's got. Because, and now he's got to say, okay, I haven't got time to baby anybody. I haven't got time to play favorites here. I haven't got time to figure it out. So what he's looking for now is who's giving me the best effort. And that's what the lineups he's going with. So don't get mad if he changes the line, if he sits somebody out of that, because he's doing his best to figure out what it takes right now. Jared said it. We're running out of overnights. It's got to be done. We got to get it done now. I think he's doing a good job of what I watch his meetings. I'm watching with the players. But it's still one tough road to hoe.
Oh, it's got to be almost impossible.
It's tough. But if we're going to do it,
yeah,
that's what's hanging in now. They brought John in to try and change it around. The guys have bought in. And Forsberg and Rene are scoring, so.
Crispy, last one for you. What is one thing you think that John Hines has come in and done really well, and what is one thing that you think John Hines is going to have to fix pretty soon?
Probably the biggest thing he's done is he's made them aware of five men defensive in the defensive zone. We got guys now in front of the net that didn't know where that territory was. It's like they just dropped them in on a map. We're now clearing out the front of that net in the slot area. I love that. The guys are doing it. The other thing I like now is we're backtracking hard and fast, meaning back-checking, chasing the guy back into our end. And the third thing I like, and I've been screaming at this for 2 years or more in all the coaches in the league, eliminate the offense defense in our zone. Their defensemen, that's who's causing you all the trouble. Think about our team. If you had to say who causes most of our trouble, it's Yossi, Ellis, and Ekholm. And Fab, from the point, the shots they're getting, the plays they're making, eliminate them. Now see who's going to make the plays. He's doing the same thing the other day. Watch our guys tonight. If he plays the same way he did in the road, we'll be eliminating their defense. Their defense won't get the clear shot. Their defense won't get the clear walk-in. The defense will not have an easy night out there, believe me.
Crispy, always good to see you. Your thoughts, will the Titans get it done against Kansas City this week?
Hey, my coach, Vrabel, and his boys are going to do it. Like I said to you, when that guy number 22, I think they call him Henry.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, when he's done playing this year, I want to see him come put our uniform on. Tell him I got a card open. Is that tampering, GM?
Different sport. I'll
find a spot. And if that kid up the hill or Tannehill or whatever maybe I can find a jersey for him to play with us too. But having said that, best of luck to them. Tighten up, baby. Tighten up.
Crispy, always good to see you. As always, Terry Crisp, presented by the Highland Group. Coming up next here on Jared and the GM, Derrick Henry, you heard Crispy talking about. Crispy wants to put him on the Preds, which I'm not against right now. Andy Reid has a comparison for Derrick Henry. What does Floyd think of that? And we're back to your phones next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Derrick Henry is an unusual physical specimen.
Who was that? I'm sorry.
Henry?
Yes.
Henry.
Yes, very good.
Size, speed combination. Who would you liken him to that you faced over the years, and what's the challenge that he
Well, the guy played right there, Eddie. I mean, he and Eddie are similar size. You know, this kid might be even bigger than Eddie, but both of them were big, strong backs that could run fast. And you'd look at him and you go, man, they'd be good tight ends, too. He's a heck of a player. Good kid, too. He's a really quality kid, so he loves to play the game.
That was Derrick Henry. You heard the comparison right there. Or Derrick Henry, that was Andy Reid on Derrick Henry. You heard the comparison right there from Andy Reid, GM, Eddie George. Now, I don't want to say that's kind of a lazy comparison, but it does feel like a lazy comparison to me only because it's like, oh, yeah, you know, Eddie George, he played in Tennessee. He's a big, powerful back. Derrick Henry, you know, he's the same guy. And I'm like, whoa now. I mean, it'd be like saying, who does Le'Veon Bell remind you of? That kind of reminds me of Jerome Bettis. Or Franco Harris. What? So, I don't know. What did you think of Andy Reid comparing Derrick Henry to, or Eddie George to Derrick Henry? And do you think that's a fair comparison from Andy Reid?
I don't. You know, I've listened and read where people have tried to compare him to somebody forever. I've kind of thought that they're tried to do the same thing. Truth is, he's not. I can't compare him to a single guy. This is what I would do. I would say he is John Riggins when he's running inside, when things are ugly and messy, and then when he gets to running where he's down the field, he reminds me of Eric Dickerson. just his running style. He's a lot bigger than Eric, but his, you know, upright running style, high knees, all that kind of stuff, pretty runner.
Is Derrick Henry, is he really that good? I mean, you just compared him to two Hall of Fame guys. I mean, like that, and I'm not saying that, I mean, a lot of people love to heap praise on a guy and say he's the next. And sometimes it's like, whoa, like that's a little too far. You just compared Derrick Henry to two Hall of Famers.
Well, yeah, but I'm not comparing them about the Hall of Fame. I'm comparing their running style, his running style. And I think inside, when he's got the ball and it gets messy, he runs like John. John was really a powerful, great body lean, always falling forward. I mean, I don't know how many times we played him, but I don't know that we ever stopped him. You know, it was always at least zero. If he didn't gain a little something. And I think Derrick has that quality. But when he pops it and he gets going, Eric Dickerson had this real upright kind of run style. His upper body was upright. High knee, I mean, he was pretty running. And Derrick is that way. Derrick's very upright when he takes off and gets going, you know. And
it's kind of like a sprinter, you know, where the sprinter's
kind of... very
kinda...
good form, and, you know, he can run. So but other than that, I mean, I can't think of a guy that he would compare to.
Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Tim is up next on the Titans and Chiefs. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Tim.
What a time to be a Titan, man. I tell you what. Hey, reason for the call, I'm getting the same feeling this week as I did last week. The minute that we beat the Patriots, I was worried about the Ravens. As the week gone on, felt better and better. As this week's gone on, I'm feeling better and better. Obviously, you still got to respect them. But same thing, kind of what you were talking about before the Preds break. What are we going to do about Kelce in the red zone? And do we think Jayon Brown is going to be healthy enough to fill that spot? And if not, who is going to take him on? And thank you for the call. And, yeah, have a good one.
You got it, Tim. I started to feel better like Tim. I started to feel better about the game last week as the week went along. And I remember Saturday being like, you know, I think the Titans can beat this team. And I have not felt better about Kansas City since Kansas City came back on Houston. Now, when Houston was up 24-0, I was feeling great. And I was thinking, oh, my God, the Titans are going to go to the Super Bowl. I really thought that if they got the Texans, they were going to beat them. And I was hell-bent on it. Now I'm not feeling better as the week goes on. To the caller's other point, Jayon Brown limited today in practice. I don't know if he's going to play or not going to play, but it would be David Long, right, who just has fit right into that ever since Jayon went out. And David Long would get out on there, and David Long would be the one who fills in for Jayon Brown.
Oh, yeah, but they can't cover Kelce.
Well, Jayon can't cover Kelce.
Neither one.
But I hear people say, well, you know, they need to get Jayon Brown back to cover Kelce. They can't cover him.
They can't cover Kelce. You can't. We don't have a single guy that can cover Kelce. It's going to take – you're going to have to double him. And it doesn't worry me. The part that worries me more than anything else are all the zones. You know, if you – because you get him and you work your tail off. You get a penalty. It's 3rd and 15. Well, Dean's natural instinct is, okay, we're going to drop back and play a zone. Good, safe, sound zone. I understand the concept. I understand why they do it. He goes down there and weaves around. He finds a little hole. And guess what? Quarterback jumps up, boom, throws it in there. First down, off and running. That's where Kelce scares me. And the part that scares me more than anything else is he does it snap after snap after snap.
Mm-hmm.
If you give him another coverage, he knows what it is. He knows where he's supposed to go. He'll go down there. He'll wind around somebody. He'll dance around, get open, zing, here comes the ball. And, I mean, I don't know what the numbers were before he got hurt the last time we played him. I'm talking about in the playoffs.
Right. But his numbers in the game this year.
I mean, he was on his way to setting records. You know, he had 6 or 7 or 8, and he had, you know, had a 80 yards or whatever. I mean, he was killing us. And then, you know, we ended up getting a hit on him, and that's it. And I'm not saying do anything dirty, but I wouldn't be mad if we got another hit on him.
Travis Kelce in that playoff game was 4 for 66 and a touchdown.
There you go.
4 targets, 4 catches, 66 yards, averaging 16.5 per catch.
16.5 yards.
I'm just telling you, he's going to get his now. Oh, he's going to get his. And Hill's going to get his. You just hope that those his aren't touchdowns. John is up next. Quickly, thank you for calling on Andy Reid. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, John from Pittsburgh. Hey, I wanted to tell you about this Andy Reid. He's not a choker. He's had some bad luck here and there. But, you know, you ever hear of Marty Schottenheimer? I consider him one of the greatest coaches in pro football, actually. I don't know. What do you think about that, Floyd?
I always liked Marty.
Thank you, John.
That guy was a great coach. And he had
but he,
couldn't
win it, but he never won in the playoffs. He never won in the playoffs.
You didn't watch this game, but I watched the game. The running backs running into the end zone, and he fumbled on the 1 yard line. He would have went to a Super Bowl in the year before.
Again,
that
and you can do that with Andy Reid. Thank you for your call. You can do that with you can do that. Thank you, John. You can do that with Andy Reid. You can do that with whomever. You can say it's not his fault that the running back dropped the ball. It's not his fault that the defensive back let the guy get behind him. It's not his fault that they missed a 25-yard field goal. You can do that with everybody, every coach who has ever choked in any sport. You can say it's not his fault. You can say it's not Calipari's fault that he lost with an undefeated team to Wisconsin in the Final Four. But we all know it was. It was.
So Calipari's a choker?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Calipari is a total choker. And the only time he didn't choke was when Anthony Davis was too good. And that's what worries me about this Chiefs team. Anthony Davis was too good to let Calipari choke him away a title. And I am worried that this offense is too good to let Andy Reid choke away a title. And that's where I'm worried. Ask the GM. Load them up. 615-737-1025. Calls and texts. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM. Presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. Ian, do we know what the fine folks are competing for today here on Ask the GM?
Yes, 2 tickets to see Foreigner at Ascend Amphitheater, June 24th.
There you go. Best call for the GM or text will win that. Ask the GM, presented by Bob's Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows, is next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.